Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Now you're listening to a brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny, speaking. And we have a couple of goodies coming up on this show. I'm doing a solo show right now, but we're also going to have an exclusive interview with Robbie Edwards. He's the senior producer at Red Storm Entertainment. We were there a couple months ago because we just wanted to learn more about the history about Red Storm. They have a very, very cool history. Of like when they started developing games for the Xbox, the original Xbox, and how was it creating a game, an online game, for the first time on a console like this? And we talked all about that with Robbie Edwards. So I'm outside right now, so you might hear some background noise, some like planes passing by and all that stuff. So we're going to keep this short, but head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback over there. If you want, go to any podcast app out there and just search for Gamertag Radio and subscribe. If you can, if you're like, say, in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, post a review of Gamertag Radio, because every time you, the listener, post a review or subscribe, that it's going to help us out so much, because we will increase, we will go up top of the charts, and a lot of new listeners will discover us. So if you can, if you get the chance, please subscribe or post a review. That will help us out big time. Or share with your friends.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Another thing I want to mention is, wow, we're doing pretty good with the donations. A lot of listeners been donating, and a lot of them have been donating to GTR for the first time. For those that don't know, we're trying to raise money for us to attend E3 this year. We can't attend E3 without your support. I know we've mentioned this a couple of times now for several weeks, but we're going to be pushing this all the way through, because I would love for us to go over there to E3 and just record a lot of great content, not only roundtables, but previews, interviews, all that. Last year, we posted over 50 episodes. You know, I want to give a shout out to Keon. Keon posted that he donated $5, and he said that he is planning to donate more later this week. Iron Man DDB donated for over $14, close to $15. Really cool. And he wrote, "Let's go, GTR community. Help me help these guys get to E3 2019. All right, another one. This is Natalie 61585. She donated $60 and she said, "Hey guys, I've been listening to you for the past 4 years. First time donating. Hope this small donation helps get my favorite podcasters out here to LA. Best of luck, Natalie." Another one is John Wall 22. He donated $5. Can't wait to hear y'all at E3. John Wall from D.C. Man, it's a lot of people donating, man. Very, very cool. Another one, Black Adam 52, $20. Been listening to the show since 2007 or so. Keep up the good work, guys. I hope this helps. Thank you so much, man. Go to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Help us out. All right. So very quick, this week, PlayStation had like they launched like their first kind of like a Nintendo Direct inside Xbox, that type of thing, called State of Play. So I watched it. They announced a lot of VR games and a couple. They show the Days Gone new trailer, and they show a couple other things too. So the first game that they showed was Marvel's Iron Man. And this is going to be a VR game for the PlayStation 4. Overall, I think that State of Play was all right. You know, I get it. It's their first one, right? But I think PlayStation is also saving the big announcements for later this year. This is just the beginning, right? If you go back, and I've mentioned this on Twitter, Nintendo went through this, man. I remember the first time they had Nintendo Direct. It wasn't even all that. And there was times that it was a disaster. So you have to go through those bumps, right? And I think as a fan of PlayStation, you have to take it back. They, you know, got to give them some time and send your feedback to PlayStation. And they know this is not the greatest announcements out there. But remember, they're working on the next generation console. They're not going to have, the company's not going to have no E3 this year. Maybe some PlayStation experience the end of this year. Who knows? But you trying to tell me they're not going to have a state of play during E3? Of course PlayStation is going to do that. You know how much money they're going to save that by just having a state of play, a E3 edition? Think about that. You got to give it time. I think that this is just the beginning for PlayStation, and the company is going to go all out with this, and the company is going to save so much money. And instead of having a booth, control a message, post everything online, and that's it. That's it. The company is going to do fine, man. So I could see a special E3 edition where it'd be like kind of like in an hour or so, nothing but videos of games coming out this holiday, maybe a teaser for the next gen. Don't know if they will do that, or maybe the company want to wait to an event like PlayStation Experience, where there's going to be a lot of consumers there, and that will be the perfect time to hype the crowd up. You know how cool it is? Just imagine an exec on stage and talks about PlayStation 5 in front of a whole bunch of fans there inside of a theater or something. The press is going to eat that up. It's going to go around. Do you remember the first time they talked about the price of the PlayStation 4? Do you remember that? And there was a lot of listeners there. Not listeners. There was a lot of fans there surrounding, going crazy. That video went viral. You could check it on YouTube, check it on Facebook, any other video platform out there. You will see that fan's reaction. So, like I said, you got to give them time. I think this is the beginning for PlayStation. And look, they're going to make some major, major moves. We're going to play this interview right now with Robbie Edwards, senior producer at Redstorm Entertainment. We had a great, great conversation about Xbox Live, the history. How was it for the company to create an online game for a console for the first time? And we talked about all that stuff. So sit back, relax, enjoy this podcast exclusive, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR. This is a Gamertag Radio exclusive.
My name is Robbie Edwards. I'm a senior producer at Redstorm Entertainment, Ubisoft.
Hey, thank you for taking some time to talk to us. So first question, this is a nice softball one for you. How long have you been at Redstorm?
You know, I've been at Redstorm and Ubisoft for 20 years this past October. So I've actually been here longer than I was ever educated.
That's great. So first thing I want to talk about is Ghost Recon on the original Xbox. And the reason I bring that up is because Redstorm was one of the first third-party studios to work with Microsoft to put a game on their fledgling Xbox Live service. And from personal experience, I just remember at that time thinking, is this Xbox Live thing even going to work? How is this whole process going? So from your point of view, being here at that time, what was Redstorm thinking partnering with Microsoft, and how did that experience go?
We were actually really early believers in Xbox Live, and a part of that is because our kind of pedigree was in PC multiplayer gaming, mm-hmm. with Rainbow Six and of course Ghost Recon at the time. And both of those games had very strong, you know, online or multiplayer components. So our whole DNA was about creating multiplayer games. So now Xbox is here saying, hey, we're going to create this live service and you're going to be able to create that same experience that you have on PC on the console. Yeah, let's do it. Like, this is what we think gamers want. And so to be able to take Ghost Recon, which we thought was a fantastic multiplayer experience, bring it to this platform. You know, I think one of the things that was really memorable is like one out of four people that owned an original Xbox owned the original Ghost Recon.
Oh, wow. I never knew that. That's actually a pretty amazing stat. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a great success and, you know, people loved the game. And I think it showed or obviously it demonstrated how powerful online gaming would eventually become.
OK. And then was Rainbow Six what was next for you guys at the time? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, gosh. So we did Ghost Recon. Man, you're going to. I unfortunately have a really bad memory, and if it's not written down for me, I can't actually tell you. But we did Rainbow Six console versions before, but they never had an online component.
Right, right.
So then I think it was Ghost Recon and then Ghost Recon 2, and there were some DLC packages that were mm-hmm. done. And then Rainbow Six Lockdown was done for the PlayStation. So I think that's kind of the general order of those.
But see, the reason I bring that up is because I'm just trying to think from a behind-the-scenes point of view. Were you guys holding your breath at the time? I mean, how was that, like the light switch went on that, hey, we're doing online console gaming right now. What was some of the feedback and the things that you remember hearing?
You know, I that time we were very young, at least yeah. I was very young. And so maybe we were just naive, but we had no doubt that it was going to work.
Wow. Right?
Again, you know, we knew the power of multiplayer gaming. You know, Rainbow Six was an amazing PC multiplayer experience in its first offering. So we knew that, which I don't know. We never really doubted that it was going to be successful.
See, I'll tell you a secret. I did. I did. I just remember thinking, man, I don't know. I don't know this Xbox thing and this on live. Because I remember playing like NFL 2K on the Dreamcast and thought, okay, that was a cool experience, but that was like 33K modem or something like that. But I go to actually pull off a real shooter, a Tom Clancy shooter. Online, I'm playing against people all over the world. I was very skeptical, and I have to admit, you guys did. You did an amazing job.
But I mean, again, like, what was so different about the console from the PC, right? You know, yeah, it was a new platform. We had new inputs, right? But as far as like the experience of wanting to compete online and compete with other people and talk to them, I mean, that just kind of transcends, yeah. you know, whatever platform you're on.
Well, I think it was, we're having this interactive conversation, so let's do it. I think it was at the time because. When you think of PC gaming, broadband obviously was a maturing product, especially in the United States at the time. And that was more mature to be able to play on a PC. Okay, I've done Unreal Tournament. I've done Rainbow Six. I've done these things on a PC. But does Microsoft even know what they're doing? I mean, can this work? It was like, you remember, because there was a lot of controversy at the time of them even putting a broadband adapter in that console, whereas like I think PlayStation was doing 56K at the time or something like that. So yeah, I was like, I don't know.
You know, I remember being at like one of the early conferences and I was like, hey, how are people going to get internet access to their televisions, right? Because we had them for our PCs,
right.
But you know, the home networking hadn't blown up the way it had now, right? Wireless didn't really exist at all, I don't think, right? So yeah, I was like, I was curious, like, how are we going to do this? And they were like, well, we'll figure out ways to get people, but they believed in it too. And, you know, and it took a while, I think, for kind of widespread adoption to come online. But again, in hindsight, I think it's one of those things that feels obvious. It was going to happen eventually. Why not with the Xbox?
Yeah, I know at that time, they also, you guys also added clans feature mm-hmm. in the game. How was that, adding that in the game for like the first time back then? You know, because I think it's important to, you know, to have friends playing together. And I've always been a fan of just having that part in the game, clans.
I mean, quite honestly, all of that stuff was super, super painful, right? You know, services exist nowadays, like Ubisoft services and Steam and Xbox and all these things. They have their own services, their own friend services, their clan services, parties. Mm-hmm. But none of that stuff existed. And even the back end for it didn't exist. So we had to figure out all the stuff from scratch. And it was hard. Like it was literally hard. You know, imagine the early versions of web pages and stuff and just how, you know, we all remember GeoCities, or hopefully you guys are old enough to remember, you know, and just how rough things looked, right? Angel Fire, exactly. You know, we just how immature things were. And that's what we were dealing with. We had these immature services that we had to create from scratch. And we didn't know exactly how people wanted to play or what the preferred way to play. So we were just kind of guessing at what we thought would be the best way. But again, luckily we'd done some of the stuff on PC, so we had some experience.
Yeah. Was there any moments, any fair moments for you from back then when it comes to like the online part, working? I know you mentioned it before too, but was there anything that stood out to you back then when it comes to working on a game to add online features back then?
I think the biggest part for us, or at least the most exciting part for us, was it was just a whole new set of challenges, right? You know, like on PC, we controlled everything about the platform, right? We could make whatever decision we wanted and make it work. But on a console or first party platforms, things are a lot different. They have a lot of constraints and a lot of requirements that you have to meet. And looking at what we'd done on PC and looking at what we thought made a successful game, and then trying to apply those rules to this new ecosystem, well, it was really challenging and really hard. And while I'll probably struggle to find a specific instance that I could talk about, every day it was full of interesting problems trying to get these games released.
So we won't beat you over the head with all the Xbox Live talk. So I'm actually more curious with today. Here we are in 2018 at Red Storm. You've been here 20 years. What's your role like right now? What is it that you're doing currently with Red Storm? You know, it's for in-game development, delivery games.
So I recently worked on VR titles, which were super interesting. You know, again, it's a new platform with new problems. And I think what was interesting about VR, or what is interesting about VR, is all the things that we used to do, you know, for performance reasons, but over time we kind of like didn't have to worry about them anymore. Well, when you come back to VR and you got to run at 90 frames a second, all those little tricks, you know, are now fresh again. So that's been really exciting, as well as, you know, just kind of looking at current trends. I've been working a lot in new IP development, and we've been trying lots of different ideas and lots of really interesting ideas. And a lot of them show up in different games within Ubisoft. So that's been primarily my focus. And now I'm about to start on something new.
Well, for full disclosure, we did share an elevator ride before
yes.
we even knew we were going to talk to you today. And you said you're going to give us some secrets. So here we go. Let's do
it. Oh, no. Don't say secrets. Hell, PR.
Yeah. No. Well, here I'll swing this back. So you mentioned that you're working on VR. And just like I said, I was a big skeptic of Xbox Live 20 years ago, however long it's been. I'm a skeptic of VR now. So since you're actively developing on that and creating things on that, what is it about the VR space that you see moving forward that we should be excited about?
So when we first did our first VR experiment, right, and it was The Werewolves Within, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with, but, you know, the game Werewolf, you know, you someone's the bad guy and you're trying to figure out who it is through social deduction. So we put a prototype of that in VR, and we sat it down in front of some VR experts, you know, from some of the VR companies. And one of the first things that happened is you could be a female avatar in the game, right? And they looked down and they looked at their body, and they had this moment of where they were just kind of disassociated with, you know, they knew that that was them, but they didn't kind of understand it, and how immediately their mind like reconfigured itself to think they were a female, or to think whatever character they were in game, right? Be it in Star Trek Bridge Crew, just how quickly VR engulfs you in the environment and the experience and the reality that's being presented is super, super powerful. And just like Xbox Live, you know, was kind of the first foray into this thing, you know, the current VR situation is that. And I think as it matures and we find the perfect ways to execute these things, it's going to be a kind of a transformative experience.
Okay. We've been asking everybody this question. So I'm going to throw it at you two. Red Storm. When I think of Red Storm, I think of Tom Clancy. When you think of a game, what makes a game a Tom Clancy game?
There's a guy here that works that has a thing on his door that says, know the facts and then you can distort them at will, right? You know, distort them to meet your needs or something like that. And I think it was a Mark Twain quote or something. And I think that's what it is about Clancy. Like, everything is based in realism. And yes, we, you know, try to make it a little bigger and a little better than maybe what reality is, but everything has like these realistic roots in it. And I think that is from day one, when I first started working here on Rainbow Six, that was what we said. You know, Clancy is about delivering a realistic experience to people.
I literally cannot follow that up. That is the perfect answer. I almost think that we should end on that note, unless you guys have any other questions. No? Well, Robbie, thank you. We put you to the fire about 2002 and Ghost Recon and Xbox Live, and we really appreciate the insight on it.
Great. I think the only way it could have been tougher if I had to do some freestyle raps or something.
No, but thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's been great talking to you.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio. I hope you enjoy the interview with Robbie Edwards, a podcast exclusive. You're not going to find that nowhere else, only here on Gamertag Radio. So earlier today, 2K Games released this teaser of the new Borderlands game called Mask of Mayhem. It's a teaser trailer, and there's going to be more information during PAX. And I believe we talked about this a couple times on past episodes of Gamertag Radio. You could go back. I just can't remember which episode it was. But we did mention that a new Borderlands was going to come, was going to happen. We weren't sure when. We thought it was going to be E3. Didn't happen at E3. So then I said, and also Paris and Pete, we all of us said that PAX East, it's possible that that's going to happen. The reason why I said that is because years ago, there was an announcement from 2K about Borderlands during PAX East. And this is the perfect time because, honestly, look, no other company is making major, major announcements like AAA games like that. Never. So why not take advantage? You'll be the only one, let's say, to at this particular example right here. They are the company's the only one announcing a game like Borderlands, and people are excited. They're super, super excited about a brand new Borderlands game. So take advantage, PAX East. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for the new Borderlands. Hopefully, once we get more information about this game later this week, we're going to talk about it on the next episode of Gamertag Radio. So it's funny, the last episode we talked about Generation Zero, which is hilarious because I had no idea that the game was going to come out this week. I already got a review copy, Paris 2. So I haven't had a chance to play it because I've been really, really busy behind the scenes on other things that I'm doing. So I'm planning to play it, planning to talk about it. And one of these days I'm also going to get together with my brother and bam, we're going to record multiple episodes of Battle of the Games, where we're going to be debating on something. We haven't figured out what topic we're going to talk, we're going to record about, but it's going to be exciting once we record out. Definitely we'll talk about it on the podcast or through social media or something like that. So everybody, look, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Remember, post your comments, feedback, subscribe on any podcast app out there. Just look up Gamertag Radio. We're there. And tell us, how can you, the listener, can help us out? How can you get other people to listen to GTR? You know, beyond social media, because, you know, everybody share it, which is awesome. I love that when people share our content online. Maybe have a friend locally that never heard of GTR, and this would be a perfect opportunity for you to sit down like, hey, check this out. Let me give you a perfect example of a listener that was really cool that he managed to do this. So they were driving from Miami to Fort Lauderdale. It was like a good 45-minute drive, right? And they were attending a kind of like a Comic-Con event here in Florida. It's one of the biggest ones. And they were listening to one of our episodes, and it was about the Cyberpunk roundtable that we recorded back at E3. So shout out to Hungry Bear. He was the one that managed to do that. And there was a couple people inside of his car, and they heard the whole conversation. They got them hyped for the game and everything. So it was really, really cool hearing that from Hungry Bear, because he told me this. We bumped into each other at the Comic-Con event in Fort Lauderdale, and he was telling us, we were listening to your episode while we were driving over here. That was his first time listening. He became a fan, man. I was like, oh, that's cool. So that's an example of the interactions that you guys could have. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? Or, you know, stuff like that. And people, I know there's listeners that listen to us, listen to the podcast at work with their coworkers and the debate there and everything. It's awesome. I love hearing those stories. So if you have a unique story like that, send us an email, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. We'll read it, or you could call us, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or leave a message. It could be anywhere in the world. You could go right now to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. And that will be an opportunity for you to record and tell us a story, like, of any past episodes you like, debates, your friend, or maybe a family member, or you know, they were listening to the episode and you guys debate. That would be awesome. All right. So one more time. We're going to E3. We need your support. Donate right now to help us. Donate.gamertagradio.com. Right now we raised over $760. But we can't attend E3 without your support. And I'm being dead serious. Like, we don't have the budget. So if we don't get the support from the community, then we'll do an E3 from home. So we need your support. I know we have a lot of listeners that listen to us everywhere around the world. Even if it's $1, $5, $10, $100, $200, doesn't matter. Anything that you donate to GTR, that's going to help us out so much. And we appreciate your support big time. So thank you so much for everybody that's been supporting us and donating. We're going to give you more updates once we figure out how much we have in the future and on the future episode of Gamer Tag Radio, right? All right, so we're going to be out here. And thank you for listening. And I hope you enjoy this episode. More content coming up here only on Gamer Tag Radio. Stay tuned. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.